Remember, if anyone asks, we're a nice, normal talk show. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Mandate the wearing of masks.
I would do everything in my possible to make it required that people had to wear masks in public.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
Hi there. That was Biden. And then, of course, I know the nonsense that spews out of Biden. And then wanting masks for everybody. And then that, of course, followed up by Anthony Fauci, our favorite little tyrant, who doesn't wear a mask himself most of the time, is photographed without. I saw a mask with a photograph of him with his mask around his chin. I thought, that's a good mask. Anyway, welcome to the Kate Daly Show. I play that clip a lot because I feel like you're hearing the mainstream media hype and fear and crazy and insanity 24/7, and I don't think I could play it enough, actually, because it's in his own words. And Fauci's admitting that people should not be wearing masks. And so just, you know, welcome to the show. Hi, Uncle Milty.
Hello.
Chris Ann Hall will join us next week. She is on the road today. And so we do want to talk about something that she actually wrote, though. And I think this might be pretty beneficial in light of what's going on. So a couple of things. Biden is not, he's still the presumptive nominee. He's not the nominee for the Democratic Party. And I realize all this is political theater, trust me. But we have to comment on it because it's actually going on right now. So we might as well comment on this. But that doesn't happen for 4 more days, okay? And in light of that, CNN and their big talking point for Kamala today is, ever since she was nominated, is for VP by him, okay, designated for VP, is the fact that she can take over for him in a heartbeat. Now, think about the last presidential elections. Did you ever remember that being a selling point for the VP? If anything, they're afraid of that. So, yeah, no.
I think what they said was she could take over for him in the lack of a heartbeat.
In lack of a heartbeat. Yes, thank you for summing that up. That's their selling point for this candidate for VP, so for their party. And so it'll be interesting to see if there's a bait and switch at the Democratic nominating process.
Convention.
Virtual,
yeah.
Do you even call it? Virtual convention.
The virtual convention.
Ugh.
It's going to be exciting.
Oh, it's a show. I can't even say the first word of that. It's a show. It'll be a show. Dog and pony show for sure, because the same people, like I said yesterday, are behind her, like Trevor Loudon said, I'm sorry, are Obama's Marxists. That's mm-hmm. who got him into office. They staked a claim for her. So.
And there are lots of similarities.
Yeah, they want her. Mm-hmm. There's a lot
between
of
her and
yes.
Baraki.
Yes.
You know, she's not black.
No, she's Jamaican and Indian.
Jamaican and Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, at one time she made it a very big point that she was Indian.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like that was more important than being black.
Right. But then Biden said he wanted to pick a black woman. So then she became black.
Yes.
So
then
now she identifies as black.
Yeah.
Well, I identify as a supermodel. What do you identify as? I'm a supermodel with an 18-year-old rear end. Sweet. I'm happy.
I identify as your neighbor.
Oh, my God. This is why I love him. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Chris Ann Hall. The founders established a criteria of natural born citizen upon our president for a really important reason, and this is it. Natural born citizen meant to the framers that a child born of two parents who were citizens of the United States, this is from Chris Ann Hall, by the way, of the United States at this time of the birth of that child. And if you're not aware of this, or perhaps disagree, then you have to, you know, there's articles that are based on this. And of course, there's a whole lot of reading that you can partake of. But she goes on to say a person who is born of just one parent who is a citizen of the United States is a citizen by birth, but not natural born citizen. A lot of people don't know this. Someone cannot hold or have held dual citizenship with a foreign country and be a natural born citizen. Natural born means both parents. So the fact that we are confused by this qualification, or perhaps even wish to alter this qualification, must be because we do not understand why the qualification was established in the first place. She's right. So before we take a stand either way, we have to consider the reasons why this qualification by the framers, why they established this in the American Constitution. The whole reason the president was supposed to be natural born citizen is because the framers had a history, a full history of foreign kings imposing foreign law and foreign favor upon the people and knew how dangerous foreign influence was to liberty. So George Washington spent a great bit of effort trying to drive this understanding home in his farewell address of 1796. Mm. And this is what he said. You want to say it?
Against the insidious wiles of foreign influence, I conjure you to believe me, fellow citizens. The jealousy of a free people ought to be constantly awake, since history and experience prove that foreign influence is one of the most baneful foes of a Republican government.
Foreign influence. Think about a lot of the people in these parties that come over here and get into office. Mm-hmm. Elon and all Barack and Michelle. I mean, all these people, right, that get into office, well, and they're from somewhere else. It's kind of interesting.
Well, you know, everybody realizes that Congress is a big problem.
Yes.
Look at how many. See, there was no restriction to be an American citizen, to be in Congress, a natural born citizen. We have tons of foreign people in our Congress, and most of them are Democrats, and most of them are Marxists.
Yeah.
And they're in our Congress.
That was exactly my point. I mean, look at this crowd and look where they're coming from and look what they're all about. It's so obvious. So she said, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so there gives the credence for worrying about the foreign influence.
And if you remember in the Federalist Papers, they talked about, it was talked about as far as they wanted a period of time when somebody came here to be able to make sure that they were really adopting freedom, the American way, because they didn't want them bringing their socialism with them. They didn't want them bringing the ideas of their past country with them. And so they were actually pretty well equipped to, you know, they knew that this was going to happen, and they knew that people had to have a period of time too, that it couldn't be instantaneous. So anyway, Washington knew from his history the real dangers of foreign influence, and part of Washington's British Constitution was a document called the Grand Remonstrance of King Charles I, with a letter in his hands, 1641, in which the people of Great Britain listed many grievances against their King Charles I. Right? They indicated that these grievances were indicative of a larger design to overturn and undermine liberty of the people and the law of the land. Boy, sure sounds familiar. One of the grievances illustrated how foreign influence and foreign law have contributed to the destruction of liberty. See how things never change? So this is what it said. Such counselors and couriers as for private ends have engaged themselves to further the interests of some foreign princes and states to the prejudice of His Majesty and the state at home. And in another part of the British Constitution, this time the English Bill of Rights in 1689, the people of Great Britain actually require an oath of their king and his council to shun all foreign influence. I mean, what do we call them? Foreign invaders, too? I mean, there's lots of references of foreign influence or foreign invaders or foreign this or foreign that. But really and truly, a natural born citizen has two parents that were born here.
She doesn't have any.
No. She doesn't have any.
But she was born here.
Yeah. So interesting. So protecting the United States from foreign influence was very prominent in the minds of our framers, especially in the office of president. At the time of the creation of the Constitution of the states, there were no natural born citizens. So an exception was made until that qualification could be met. And it's in Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5.
No person except a natural born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president.
Right. The exception to natural-born citizen requirement was that the president must be a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of the Constitution. And Joseph Story, in his commentaries on the Constitution in 1833, explained that this was to ensure that people who were patriots of the Revolution could be considered for office and nobody else. Yeah, which is good.
Well, you couldn't demand anybody be a natural-born citizen the day after that we won the Revolutionary War.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't demand that. So right. It had to be enough generations had to go by where everyone who was a citizen was a natural-born citizen at that time.
Right. So it's an important distinction that helps us understand why the natural-born citizen requirement is a must. The president is the commander-in-chief of the military. Our framers knew that their history, that it would be extremely dangerous to allow someone of foreign influence to exercise power over our military specifically. Yeah.
So here's a kind of a point I want to make at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Kamala Harris had a Jamaican father and an Indian mother who were not citizens of the United States when she was born. They were legal aliens. Had she been born while they were in India visiting grandma, she would not be a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
A natural-born U.S. citizen.
Right.
So what they're saying is the only reason that she is considered a natural-born citizen is because she was born here, even though it was to two foreign nationals.
Right. So Chrisanne Hall says, just as the birth of a child on U.S. soil does not create citizenship in the parent, the birthplace of the child does not establish the status of natural-born citizen.
Right.
So throughout history, citizenship has been based on the criteria of the parents. It is not linked to the child. The criteria of natural born citizen does not deviate from that norm.
Yeah, because at any time, her parents could have taken her to India or Jamaica and made her a citizen of those countries.
Yeah, she can't have the dual. Yeah, yeah.
At any time.
Interesting. So it was the entire reason for establishing the criteria for a president to be natural-born citizen, to help eliminate any possibility that the commander-in-chief of the military would be influenced. And let me tell you who's behind Kamala Harris. Wow. The Marxists at large. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Balance of Nature, changing the world.